And we're going to turn to Psalm 139. I think everyone's there but me. Father, we thank you for the word. Father, we thank you that you always show up. That you always show up. Father, that your anointing is present. Your anointing is with us. Father, we thank you right now that our hearts are ready to receive. Our ears are open to hear. Father, we thank you that our eyes, our spiritual eyes, are ready to see what it is that you have for us. Father, I thank you for utterance and boldness today. I thank you, Lord, that the word goes forth unhindered by any outside force. And Father, that it penetrates the hearts of the people exactly in the place and in the way that you intended it to go forth. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to start in verse 13, Psalm 139, verse 13. Hallelujah. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Amen. Today I want to talk to you about you, and I'm going to talk to me about me too. But I want to talk about something that isn't maybe something you don't already know, at least in your head. I believe you're fully aware that the scripture says this about you. And I think it's maybe not a message that you've never heard before. But it's something that is not good enough to just be known in our head. In this time where we're at, we need to know this in our heart, and not like, oh yeah, I know it. It's so sweet and lovely when you want to know it, and then you forget when things get hard. Amen. The world we live in pushes depression like it's a badge of honor. They push mental illness like it's a badge of honor. Hear my heart on that. I'm not saying the diagnosis doesn't exist, and I'm not saying that people don't walk through it for a time. I'm saying it's not for you to embrace and accept as a permanent diagnosis. There's something better for you. That's my heart. There's something better for you. It may be for a time. It may be for a season. There may be things that you need to learn and walk through. And maybe medical science maybe should even help you for a time. That's between you and God. But it's not God's best for you. The world pushes being sad and angry and full of hate as what is right and true. As we live in these times, we need to know this message in our heart. When the world pushes everyone being different, we're all individual, we're all different, but then they really want everyone to be the same. We need to know this message in our heart. We live in a society where social media is literally driving comparison on the most highest level probably ever because it's so far in your face. They literally have people who their career is to post their fake life all over your social media, all in front of your face, and then call them an influencer so you will try to compare yourself to their fake life. Notice the word influencer. The enemy knows what he's doing. Social media is where people post all the highlights of their life and there are no struggles displayed. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to hear anybody's drama. I don't want to hear about their complaining. I don't want to hear about their baby daddies and their baby mamas and everything else that they want to talk about. But when they are only posting the highlights of their life, and the foundation is set on brittle, broken substance that can't actually hold something up, we need to know this message in our heart. Amen. So Psalms 139 says, you were formed by God in your mother's womb. The very word of God, the words of God formed you in your mother's womb. Why? Hebrews 11:3 says that he formed the earth with his words. So we know when God forms something, he uses his words. It says in Psalm 139:16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. He saw you. What does that sound like? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You were God's faith project. That's who you are. You are God's faith project. He used his words of faith to speak you into existence. When he spoke, your DNA was created. Oh, glory to God. He hoped for you. What is hope? Biblical hope is a good expectation. You were his good expectation. I want you to grab that on the inside of you. Not like, oh, yes, yes, God loves me. No, you were the word of God created into who he meant for you to be. I just want to cry a little bit. You were formed in his imagination. He had the image of who he created you to be on the inside of him. I want to tell you, I heard the most, this changed my life forever. Kim Walker Smith, y'all know who she is. She's a worship singer. The song Rooftops We Do, that's her song. And what's the other one? Touch, Just One Touch. That's also her song. She's a wonderful worship singer. And she had a vision of God. And he took from himself a chunk like dough. And I've told you all this before, but I'm telling you, it changed my life. And he formed it into a little Kim body with his hands like Play-Doh. He put it into place, into a little Kim body. And he took her and he put her in a musical box. And he would close it and then he would open it. And she would dance and sing. And he would laugh at the joy of who he had created her to be was coming to pass. She's doing what I created her for. But he took from himself to create you. Amen? Your very being was created with the substance of faith. His faith. Catch that. Your being, not your doing. Your being was created from his faith. You were created to be with God. And in response to that, your doing takes place. We can't get these things confused. We can't get our trying to achieve for God ahead of our relationship with God. We'll never be in his fullness if we're always trying to obtain something. I'm not Jordan's wife because I do his dishes and his laundry. I'm his wife because that's who I am, right? I am in relationship with him. I'm a wife to him based on our relationship together, not based what I do in the household. I'm sure he really appreciates it, and over the last week, I'm sure he really appreciates it. But if y'all don't know, I was out of town for a week, and he was home with our three children. So, glory, yeah. Special hand clap to him. I am so blessed. The faith of God dwells in you to produce in response to you being with him. God created you for this. So stop trying to do to obtain your relationship with him and just be. Just be. That doesn't mean there's nothing that you do, but you do in response to who you are in him. You don't do to be with him. Amen? So when God created you, he didn't create you to do what you were capable of doing. He created you to do what he is capable of doing. And that's the change. Take Mary, for example. If Mary didn't know God, okay, if she had no relationship with him, would she be able to just birth God into the earth? He didn't ask her what she was capable of doing. He didn't even just say, hey, you're going to have a baby without having sex. No, he said, you, woman, will birth God into this earth. The Holy Spirit just spoke this to me. And you will not naturally birth God into this earth, but you will birth God into this earth. That's who he created you to be. A facet of himself into this earth. Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Your gift is in being with God. Your willingness to be with him is why he called you, not your capability of doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When he created you to be an individual. He created you to be uniquely you. In the Passion Translation of verse 14 and 15, it was too good to not do it twice. Faith comes by hearing and hearing, amen. In the Passion Translation, it says, I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me. Lord, you even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place. Glory to God. You are the only you. You are mysteriously complex. You are marvelously breathtaking. When you look at yourself in the mirror, I actually learned this from Patty Garcia. What? When you look at yourself in the mirror, what do you think about yourself? Are you critiquing yourself? Are you critiquing what that person looks like? Now, don't get me wrong. I am all for doing what's right for your body, okay? I'm not saying this means you do nothing. But that person in that mirror was in the imagination of God, created by the faith substance of God, and is marvelously breathtaking to God. There's a country song, I think it says, I wish you could see me in your eyes. Think of you through God's eyes. Amen. So when he created you, it says you were a work of his hand. And in Psalm 92:5, it says everything God does is saturated with depths of purpose and layers of meaning. Your very life has layers of meaning to it. You aren't here for one thing, one time. Let me tell you, the one thing that you feel like is the greatest accomplishment in your life is just the beginning. If you will let him. If you will let him. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but I'll say it again later. God's anointing never expires. It only increases. The only reason God's anointing will not be increasing in your life is because you're not letting it. So when he created you for that purpose, right? He created you to have meaning after meaning after meaning, layer after layer after layer. He created you to be an original. There's none like you. God only creates originals. The leaves on the trees, they're all different. He creates originals. And immediately when I said that, I saw, I saw the Texas Star painting that Hector does. And I saw it probably because I've seen it more than any other one. But If you tried to make an exact replica of that painting, could it be done? No. There's no way that it could be recreated in the same way it was. Why? The brush strokes would be different. Possibly his mood could be different. The way he held the brush could be different. There could be so many the lighting that fell on it and the way that he thought the stroke should go could be different. So much could be, the paint could have been mixed differently. It's never going to be the exact same unless you copy it. Unless you copy it. So is it worth it for you, rather than being the original that God created you to be, to make a replication of a less valuable print? That's what comparison is. Comparison is you are taking what God created as your original self to be a less valuable replicated print. Now, my husband is an artist. I am all for prints. Please don't think I am an artist snob in any way. But glory to God, you do what you need to do. I am all for capitalism. Make that money. Glory to God. But for you as a being, stop trying to take the cheap route. Stop trying to be just like someone else. It's important for all of us to come together to be uniquely you. Amen? And that includes in your weaknesses and your strengths. If you are willing to admit your weaknesses and go to God with them, your life will be completely changed. Stop trying to hide them and pretend like they don't exist. Just go to him. He says, I am your best friend. I am your best friend. That's what it says in Psalm 23:1. I am your shepherd and your best friend. Confide in me. I have the wisdom to help you. Amen. He even created you uniquely, and I heard this weekend, so I threw it in there for, I'm not going to teach on this, but just for your own, something to put in your pocket. He even created you uniquely with your own language to speak to him. None exactly like it. Totally and completely your own. When you pray to him in the spirit, he knows it's you because that language is uniquely yours. Lord, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. How many of you think God knew when it was time to make the garden? When it was time to make the trees? When it was time to have the waters? To make the animals? He knew when it was time to put Adam in the garden. We all agree on that? So do you not think he knew when it was time to put you in this earth? Do you not think that he knew at this moment Art Lopez needs to be here? Debbie Word needs to be here. Farrell Yergay needs to be here. Oh, he knew. He knew. And there is something uniquely in you right now that has not expired, has not went away, has not decreased, has not stepped out of the way, has become irrelevant. And Gladys and Eldred, there is something right now that their anointing has increased decade after decade after decade that is necessary in this earth. He knew when it was time for you to be here. Your gifts, your talents, your anointings, your very being were created for this time. the DNA that is in you that was spoke by God was a roadmap of who he had called you to be for this time. It was necessary to fulfill all that he had for you to fulfill, all that you were called for. He put it on the very inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. So in this moment, in this time, you're called to steward it. This moment, I have dreams, I have visions, I know places God wants me to go. But I have to steward this moment. This moment. I can't be so stuck in my future that I forget to steward this moment. I can't be so stuck in my past that I forget to steward this moment. I can't be so stuck in what the Lord has for me to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go there. I'm going to. But what about right now? What about right now? What do you think the Great Awakening is? When people will choose to stop believing the Great Awakening is coming and choose to say it's here. When they will steward the moment that it's here right now. When they will steward the moment and say, no, the glory of God is here. The presence of God is here. He dwells with me and in me and on me. And I will walk in all that he's called me to do in every moment that I walk in it. Amen? It's easy to be distracted by any of those, but we are called to be focused and faithful right now. Pastor talked about this last Sunday. She said, remember, the moments you're walking in are not isolated. They're all connected. When you walk in the boldness in the things that he's called you to do, right now, the results come later based on you being faithful right now. Amen? God has called you to a time and place. And this is it. You have to dictate to your body what it will be doing because we're moving ahead. You have to dictate to your mind what you're doing because we're moving ahead. You have to make a decision of what you're placing in your eyes and your ears because we're moving ahead. You have to make a decision who you spend your time with because we're moving ahead. Whether you're going to let unforgiveness and hurt and brokenness stand in the way of you moving forward, or if you're going to be faithful and steward the moment God's given you right now and do something with it. Am I going to day after day, morning after morning, wake up and let the enemy tell me, oh, well, I'll be better in the future. I'm not good enough right now, but I'll be better in the future. I'm not old enough right now, but I'll be better in the future. I'm not young enough right now, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to be in the cloud of witnesses ready to do it again. Or are you going to steward the moment and take the time and the place that God called you to be here and do something with it? Amen? You have to choose to be with God. Steward the moment with God. Be present with him. I have a teenage daughter. I know what it means to be in a room with her when we're just both there or if she's present with me. It normally has to do with a muting of the electronic device connected to her head. Are you willing to mute the electronic device connected to your head to be with God? To stop the noise that's coming in and just be with him, to hear him, to spend time with him, to listen to what he's saying? Are you someone who has to constantly be fed music and sound and something's constantly going in your mind because you can't just be with him? You can't just hear what he's saying? This is a call to you. Be with him. Be who you are in him, with him. Amen? And when you choose to do that, it's like taking a step onto a moving sidewalk. We were in the Baltimore airport this weekend, and I think I saw more Southwest employees on the walking side or moving sidewalk than anyone else. And they all were wearing these orange shirts. I'm just picking on Josh, sorry. No, but seriously, they were going back and forth. Why? Because they could look at their phones, they could do what they needed to do during their break and not have to pay attention to where they had to walk. They could just stand there. Can I tell you, when you choose to be with God, it's not so much about you having to figure things out, and you can just be with him and you are led and moving forward in all that you need to do. Because you are present with him and he has it all in place. More than everything else, your relationship of being with him moves you ahead into the things of God. Amen. So as we're moving ahead, this is a call from the youngest little baby in the room to the oldest person here. We have to be willing to be who God called us to be, moving ahead. Over and over again, they have said, this will be a generational revival. This isn't a call to the young, and it's not a call to the old. It's a calling of everyone making the decision that we will be who God called us to be. We will do what God called us to do. We will step and fulfill in everything that he's called us to. And we're not going to lay lax because we don't want it to depend on just one end of the spectrum or the other. Amen? Every generation is for now. There are no expired versions. Mordecai and Esther. I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to give you a snapshot. If you want to go check it out, it's in this book called Esther. Esther was called for such a time as this. She was called for that, right? That's what we hear over and over again. Esther was called for such a time as this. Esther was called. But can I tell you, so was Mordecai. Mordecai was called for that time too. Because if Mordecai wasn't willing to give her the wisdom, give her the unction to go seek God about what she was called to do, it would have never taken place. She was not stepping into that place without him giving her the wisdom to move in everything that she was called to do. It is just as important for every up-and-coming person as it is for every person who's walked through it. You cannot create a divide between generations. You cannot create a divide between one to the next. The only way Katie's going to walk in everything she is called to do is by the rest of us helping with the wisdom and the revelation that's been given and saying, does that mean she has to listen to every person? Now, let me say, every person that's older than you is not wiser than you, okay? Every person who is younger than you is not always going to follow your direction. But the ones that are in this house have been called here for a purpose. The people in this house have been called here for a purpose. The people in the body of Christ have been called there for a purpose. Amen. Whoops. I almost started over. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. To the older, wiser generation, the temptation is present to say, all right, I've done what I've been here to do. Let's turn it over to the younger ones. They have more energy. Let's turn it over to them. They have more something. Let's turn it over to them. Because in the world, that's what happens. But as a plea for myself and the people here, we cannot do what we're called to do without you being who you were called to be. Your participation is necessary. Not just your wisdom, not just your words, your participation is necessary. Your anointing is necessary. Who God called you to be, the things that you've walked in, the things you've been equipped with, the things that you have been a part of. It's necessary. It's necessary. I know the things I know because there's people who have gone before me and taught me. I know how to get in the spirit in prayer and how to pray certain ways in the spirit because people have gone before me and taught me how to do it. And I didn't have to figure it out on my own or go on this long, lengthy journey because people went before me and they taught me and they showed me and they did it with me and they believed in me and they stewarded the moment. I know the people in this church. I know the things that you've participated in. I know the things you've been a part of. Don't let it just be a thing of a past. Be in the moment right now. You are necessary for this time. Your anointing is necessary for this time. Think about Brother Copeland. The Lord asked him, "Will you live to be 120? Because don't you think that when you were 70, you were more anointed than you were 60. And when you were 80, you were more anointed than when you were 70. It's going to continue to increase. The anointing of God never changes. It only increases. It only increases. It only goes further. It only goes deeper. It's only more. And our unwillingness to pass it from generation to generation is probably the only reason that we aren't raptured yet. I told myself this while I was taking pictures on our trip. I said, "Do better, Danny." Every time I would take a picture, I took a picture of a random car while trying to take a picture of leaves. It was like, oh, Toyota, Nissan, Ford, Jeep. If you want to see a picture of a few cars, I've got them. Not good ones. It's normally like a half of a license plate, maybe a tire. Just enough to add a little scenery to the photo. But we have to do better. All of us together, we have to do better. And for the younger generation, from the smallest and up, the temptation is there to refuse the wisdom to be passed down. Temptation is present that you have to be somebody, that you have to go step out in something brand new, and I have to go make of myself something all on my own. No, you don't. Hopefully that took some weight off your shoulders. You don't. Hebrews 6:12 says, "Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Brother Copeland followed Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts, as many others did as well. Jerry Savelle followed Brother Copeland, willing to give of himself at all times. When you leave your spiritual covering, you make yourself susceptible to the enemy. Think about celebrities. Think of how many celebrities have gotten saved. They don't have a spiritual covering. They don't have a mentor. They don't have someone pouring into them. And it is only a matter of moments before they are no longer even saying anything about it. Why? Because when you equip yourself with mentors and those around you with wisdom and understanding, you move further into the things of God because there's someone there to protect you and take care of you and help you to grow wiser and stronger and walk in all of the things God called you to do. Thank you, Lord. The generation above you has done things and experienced things, seen things and witnessed things. They built revelation in things. They studied things. And all of that is necessary for us to puzzle it together. I'm going to close with this. The Lord gave me a word at the airport Friday afternoon, and I was listening to Billy Brim and Miss Lynn and Max as they were praying and interpreting. And I saw the generations coming together like a puzzle. The Lord said, "Barrier breaking with waves of glory." taking out ceilings that have held back the people of God for years. No more, no more. Increasing to new levels of glory. Like transfiguration, the glory will be seen on you. Truths of new proportions. Further in the age, the more to be revealed. The part is bigger. It is bigger if you respect those that came before you, like a puzzle pieced like puzzle pieces coming together. Take their pieces of revelation and add them to yours. Grow it, extinguish the lie of it has to be new, and choose to build. Amen. The Lord said something very similar to Joel about the old and the new coming together. He said in 2:28, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. You see, we are called to be united, not divided. We are called to be a people who come together not by comparison, competition, but we come together, young and old, female and male, color, economic status, denomination, all to come together for the purpose that is Jesus and the fullness of his body. Amen? God will pour out the Spirit on all flesh, he said. You are called for this time. Stop trying to put a divider between you and your neighbor and realize you are called to God for this time. You are called to be in God at this time. And you were created with the faith of God for the purpose he created you to be for such a time as this. Amen? Father, I thank you that you have called each one of us to this time. You have called us to this place. You have aligned us with anointing and a purpose. We thank you, Lord, that your blessing is upon us. We thank you, Lord, that your witness is upon us. Father, we thank you that today we make a quality decision to tap in all that you've called us to be, to tap in who you've called us to be in you. And Father, that we wouldn't allow the world to dictate how it should be, but we would allow the word to dictate how it should be. That we would recognize and grab a hold of that the very substance of your words created our being. Father, that we aren't walking helpless and broken, but Father, we're walking in the fullness of the imagination of who you created us to be, that we would move into that place, that we would move into that plan. Father, your word says that you created a Derek plan for us, a word, a book that dictated our lives and what we should accomplish and what we should be doing. And so, Father, for anyone who's strayed to the right or the left, we call them back to the plan of God. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.